Tomorrow's Monsters is a production of iHeartRadio, Flynn Picture Company, Cycopia Pictures, and Upper Room Productions.
Welcome to Fast Track, America's fastest recharge station. You have made a right choice with Fast Track.
January 7th, Keystone, Nebraska. Almost midnight. I had to stop and recharge the car. I didn't think I was going to make it. I've been on the road for over 24 hours now. About 30 hours still to go before I reach Arlington. Unless they catch me first. The night after my first day at NextCorp as Max Fuller's personal assistant, I tracked down David Truesdale, one of the participants of the first phase of human trials. It didn't go well.
Have you had any more contact with NextCorp? Have you spoken to Max Fuller since?
Just Benjamin.
Who's Benjamin? Mr. Truesdale?
Don't touch me! Don't fucking touch me!
Looking back, that's when all the trouble started. I didn't know who was onto me at the time when I started digging, but it didn't go unnoticed. Dr. Abby Reynolds had tipped me off to Truesdale's whereabouts. She was NextCorp's physician. Her job was to monitor and track the test subjects during the shut-eye research.
Exhibiting similar behaviors, pacing, digging at the bottoms of their cages and attacking each other. I am terminating this round of tests.
The fact that she oversaw phase one of the human trials, despite something going horribly wrong with the previous animal tests, meant she must have been instrumental in covering it up. Now, the only thing I knew for sure is that she would crack. She wasn't equipped to hold onto her secrets much longer. Her moral compass wouldn't allow it. She was too good. I could tell a lot about a person that way. And if anyone could break her, it was me. I just needed to find her.
Are you a Fast Track Priority member? Become a Fast Track Priority member today.
Okay, just hurry up. What is this going on? Was she just gonna stand there and stare at me or what? Oh, can I help you? Mate, this side is for electric, you know. The gas pumps are on the other side.
Recharge complete, Jack.
Let's go.
Please consider bubbling yourself. Let's go! Resuming autopilot.
Who was that? It's dark out here. I can see the dull glow of some metropolis off in the distance. Highways are for getting from A to B. And back roads are for what happens in between. My father told me that once. It was bullshit, of course. My father was capable of a massive amount of bullshit. The truth is he was avoiding major highways because he was on the run. And there are less facial recognition cameras on the back roads. My father, when he passed away, he had nothing. No heirlooms, no family possessions. He came from nothing, and to nothing he returned. And he died alone with 25K in a sock drawer. My inheritance. That and a pile of videotapes filled with footage of me as a boy.
Which arm do you think it is?
That one.
I pretended to think with the other hand. How?
Because I know that you thought I was going to guess your other hand.
Oh, I switched it because you thought I was going to do that trick every time.
Always watch the hands.
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm. If there's only one thing you learn from your papa, it's how to read people and to always watch the hands. Abby?
Always watch the hands.
Well done. Don't worry.
Well, none of these had ever been digitized, but his old Panasonic camera still worked. My father didn't believe in digital. No social media profiles, no online accounts, no digital footprint at all, which seems impossible these days. Shit, this is almost magical. Being a nobody to him meant that he could be anybody, anyone he needed to be, depending on the circumstances. That's what it takes to be a professional con man. When I was 10, he decided that it was time for me to learn the family business. How to spot a sucker and how to pocket their money. Whether they're noble laureates or low-life hustlers, our fathers cast long shadows.
When you were born, each of you, there was a seed in you. Deep down, hidden. This was potential. This could grow into a billion different things.
This, like any seed, is Dr. Walter Fuller, Max's father, from a commencement speech at Stanford University. I'm not sure when exactly, but the doctor seems to be in his 40s, dust of silver at his temples, a man in his prime, alluring and powerful.
The support you needed to get here, you have found and trained a passion long enough for it to get you through one of the most challenging periods in your life. And what you need to do now is to forget it all. Forget all of it. Everything that led you to this moment, let it go, because it isn't real anymore. It isn't real because it no longer exists. It's in the past. The only thing that does exist right now is right now, this present moment. And this is where the future begins. In this moment, you are in the prime of your life and on the edge of a new era of human history. From this moment, anything is possible. You are the authors of what happens next. You can predict the future by inventing it.
Predict the future by inventing it. And he did. Walter Fuller's contribution to the world of medicine is immeasurable. The millions saved each year as a result of that contribution, the Nobel Prize he won as a consequence, Walter Fuller's work has been widely praised and documented in history books. But Walter Fuller's personal life was jealously guarded. You know, it's astonishing that a public figure like Walter Fuller was able to keep details of his private life secret in this day and age. I guess that's one thing he had in common with my father. Even though my father had no public identity at all. Like me, Max's father was mostly absent from his life. It's one thing we have in common. Yet, you know, they taught us to see the world very differently. My father taught me to track patterns and be an observer. Trust no one and never take your eyes off the hands. Because everything in life is a con and everyone is always on the take. Max's father taught him to repress the past, to live only for the future, and that nothing else matters. Though we came from very different backgrounds, Max and I, we had enough in common for me to be able to earn his trust. He took a shine to me because I made myself the protege that he wanted. Brilliant and wounded. Someone like himself. I keep thinking about the first time I saw it. The other side of Max Fuller. It was almost midnight on December 29th, the night he disappeared. The entire team was working overtime preparing for CES. The International Consumer Electronics Show. This was to be the proving ground for NextCorp's new mind apps. When I leaned into Max's office, I heard him talking to someone. It was heated. But when I opened the door,
I hope I'm not disturbing you.
There was no one else in the room.
Jack, no, it's fine. I was actually just having a drink.
Just Max.
Would you like one?
Oh, thanks, sir. I wanted to let you know I got us a table. At the CES Innovation Awards after your keynote.
Oh, that's excellent.
Is there anything else for tonight?
Have a seat, Jack. Please, I insist.
Okay, sure.
How's your mother, Jack? I'm sorry, forgive me. You don't have to answer that. I know it's personal. It's just that I was thinking about her.
About my mother?
Yeah. Yes, it's not lost on me what you must be going through.
She isn't verbal anymore.
It's really hard when they get to that point. Here you go.
Thanks. You know, I still call her. You know, doctors say my voice calms her, which is, you know, she's good.
Of course it does. No, that makes sense. Your mother is one of the last humans on Earth with a primal brain. You and I, we grew up with smartphones. And because of that, our brains are wired completely differently. The massive amount of screen time has forced completely different neural connections for us. Our ability to recognize faces and voices is nowhere near to that of our parents.
You know my biggest regret?
Not spending more time with her?
Yeah, that, sure. I mean, do any of us ever really have enough time with the people we love? But no, she always had the best advice. Any girl I dated, my mother always knew exactly how long it would last. And when I listened to my mother, my life was better. She was wise. Now all that wisdom is gone. It's just gone.
Are you the only one taking care of her?
Yeah. Just me now, all alone with her here.
Now?
I had a brother, but he's gone.
Huh. I thought you said you didn't have any siblings.
He was a soldier.
A soldier? Huh. I'm sorry. I didn't know we had so much in common. My apologies, I really don't mean to be invasive. I've been told I lack a certain social etiquette. It's difficult for me to decipher what's appropriate when it comes to personal matters, so you'll have to...
No, it's okay. So what about your brother?
What about him?
You still miss him? I'm sorry, Max, if now I'm being too forward.
No, you're not. It's okay.
Okay. And that's when it happened. My father used to call it the shift. The moment a sucker makes the choice to trust you. For most people, the shift happens right away. Well, that's if the coin is good. I'm gonna be honest, Max Fuller wasn't no sucker. I've been working on shifting him for months, but he just kept studying me. Like a fucking spider, I never broke though. And then it happened, right then. Max's gaze transformed. He went from observing me to trusting me.
No, I don't miss him. It's not like that.
What's it like?
It's been over 30 years now, and there's still... an ache sometimes, a little tightening in the chest, you know. But like anything, it's just sort of folded up into the rest of your life eventually. I guess you of all people would know that, right, Jack?
Well, they live on inside us, in our thoughts, in our dreams.
What do you mean?
Yeah, well, what I mean is our thoughts are shaped differently for having known them. And these thoughts take form in our actions, and our actions eventually become cemented into habits. So when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we can see our brothers just reflected back. That was cheesy, sorry.
It's poetic, actually. No. Or maybe, you know, maybe it's more like... What am I trying to say? We're haunted by them. Trauma is the Achilles heel. It can be our saving grace, but it can also be our downfall. It's a design flaw.
Design flaw?
He was my father's favorite, you know, my brother, Benjamin. His favorite son. Though my father would have never said that.
I'm sure that wasn't the case.
I think he loved Ben's brashness. I mean, the kid was the first out of the womb. He was the first to walk. Like I said, he was a lot more like my mom. And when he died, it was as if he took the last of her with him. And so Dad threw himself into work, full force. He took all of the energy he would have taken into raising us and plowed into the future without me.
What did you do?
What did I do? I went to boarding school is what I did.
Ah.
When I came home from school, I didn't notice a change in him because he was always sort of distant with me. He didn't notice a change in himself because he was too focused on the work and too vain to admit to himself that he was slipping. It was his assistant, Marie, who finally came to me. They could have stopped it, but he was already so diminished, it was too late for any of his drugs to really save him. And they hadn't figured out yet how to reverse it. Marie had been too afraid to say anything.
God.
What I'm getting at is there's a danger in surrounding yourself with people who regard you too highly, Jack.
Huh?
That's why you are here.
That wasn't why I was there. I was 3 months into my time at NexCorp, and I had spent most of that time, when I wasn't following Max around as a perfect protege, digging into his company's secrets, trying to take him down. And I hadn't made much progress to that end. Until that night, something happened that changed everything. I needed to find NexCorp's Achilles heel. I needed to find Abby Reynolds. And that was the night I finally caught a break. I needed to find Abby Reynolds. And that was the night I finally caught a break.
I have this video of my father, of his final hours. Sometimes I watch it to remind myself. It was the only time my father told me that he was proud of me. It was like a fleeting moment of clarity. Hang tight, I'll be right back.
I was gone for a few minutes. I heard it. Another voice. Just like before. Like there was someone else in the bathroom with Max. So I stood up and slowly approached the bathroom door so that I could catch some of it in my hidden mic. What the hell? Who is that? Slipped back into my seat, and when he came out, and this is gonna be hard to explain, when he came back from the bathroom, something was different. He stood there, studying me, smiling. Now he had shifted to something new, something dark. His eyes intense. He seemed almost wild. He had undergone some kind of transformation. Is everything okay with you?
I want you to see it.
What?
Just wait. Wait and watch. Hey, Dad? Dad? It's me, Dad. I need my glasses. I can't find... Where are my goddamn glasses?
They're right here. They're right here, Dad. I got them.
Oh, okay.
They're in my hand. I got them.
Okay. It's you.
Yeah, it's me.
Kid, kiddo.
Yeah.
Where you been, kiddo? Where have you been? Dinner was 2 hours ago. It was 2 hours ago.
Okay.
Okay, no, wait. That's not right. God damn it, that's not right. I'm sorry, I am not really myself these days. These things get a little...
It's okay.
They get fuzzy.
No, I know.
Bodies get old, you know? It's criminal. Oh. How are your studies? Have you done your readings? Have you completed them?
Yes, sir.
You have? Speak up, son. Have you?
Yes, sir. I have.
Good. That's good. Good. No, that's good for you. Good for you.
Have you taken your medicine, Dad? Francine said you were being difficult.
What? What did you say?
She said that that
no, 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 excuse me, I'm not being difficult. I'm not, that bitch keeps coming into my goddamn house, into my room. She comes in and she tells me what I can do. Whose house is it?
She's trying to upset you, Dad.
It's my goddamn house.
She, we know that,
Dad.
She's just,
she cannot tell me what to do in my goddamn.
Dad, calm down.
Don't you,
she's not even here right now.
Get your hands off me.
Dad, I'm trying to help you right now.
Get off me.
Dad!
Get the fuck off me.
Dad.
I'm sorry.
No, it's, no, don't apologize. I'm sorry. It's okay. Just,
I miss you so much. I've been a little muddled lately. It's I think it's the work. It's just been too much.
I understand. I get it, Dad. It's okay. It's
but
okay.
Look at you. Look at you. You are a good boy. You have always been special. And I am so sorry that I have never really said it, but it's true. I have always known that you would do great things. As much as I have hopefully accomplished, as hard as I've worked, and as far as I may have raised the bar, I have got nothing on you. Son, I've got nothing on you. You are going to change the world in ways I can't even imagine. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
It's true.
Thank you so much, Dad. Thank you.
It's true, Benjamin.
What did you call me?
Jesus, it's freezing. Benny, would you turn up the thermostat? 72 is where I like it. I don't know why she likes it so goddamn cold.
He was so far gone that he didn't know who he was fucking talking to. The one time he expressed pride in his son, Max. And I thought it was a lucid moment. I believed deep down, despite the years of guilt I felt for my part in my brother's death and my fear that my father despised me for killing his favorite son, that maybe he was actually accepting of me, proud of me. He thought I was Benjamin, still alive. Because that was my father's fantasy after all. His secret wish that my brother Ben had lived and that I had been the one who died that day on the ice. It was never me he would be proud of. Do you know why it is that we do what we do?
So that people don't have to suffer?
No. This video goes on. I won't trouble you further with it, but in 10 minutes, he shits himself. In 15, as I'm trying to clean the shit off the legs and ass of a Nobel laureate, the single strongest man I've ever known, whose work changed the entire course of modern medicine as we know it, do you know what he does? He starts to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. Out of nowhere, this lifelong committed atheist who felt nothing but disdain towards religion, who called it a weakness, railed against the political system that propped it up, this fucking titan who beat it into my damn skull that we don't beg for help from the great almighty invisible thing called God, had the gall while I was wiping his wrinkled
Max,
to pray.
Max, he was sick. He was sick and he was confused.
And that, my little friend, is why we do what we do. To help. Yeah, sure. We want to help. To help. That sounds noble. Yeah, good. We are very noble people. But there is nothing more disgusting in this world, more hateful and insidious than frailty. And I can smell it. I can smell it just like I could smell it on my father, on my pathetic, mewling, praying father. And Jack, you want to know what it smells like? It smells like shit. We don't do what we do simply because we love humanity. It's because we detest the weakness in them. I can trust you, right, Jack? That's why you're here, to earn my trust.
Of course, yeah.
And here, deliver this for me, would you?
He gave me an envelope, addressed to Abby Reynolds. That was the last night any of us saw Max for a while. The next morning, he would disappear.
The boy hears his father's voice. It's echoing from across the snow-covered hill above the lake, carried by the wind. Who knows how long it had taken his father to register his children's absence? When did it occur to the father that he had not encountered his children since early that morning? The father's voice draws nearer. It's winded and filled with terror. He calls out. The boy strains to turn his head and he can see his father stumbling towards him in the snow. He'd been discovered at last. And soon he surely would be rescued. Soon he would be safe and warm in his father's strong arms. And his father would hold him tighter than he had since he'd been born. And the boy would look into his father's weeping eyes and he would see his father remembering how precious the boy was to him, how deeply he loved the boy. And that is the last thought the boy has before.
Before what?
Before the ice breaks. Before he slips beneath the surface of the frozen lake and comes face to face with the mirror image of himself. His dead brother, Benjamin.
John Boyega as Jack Locke, Darren Criss as Max Fuller, Marley Shelton as Cass Berkeley, Clark Gregg as Walter Fuller, Sa Ngalja as David Truesdale, Nicholas Dukoski as Finn Connolly, Claire Bronson as Dr. Abby Reynolds, David Chen as Michael Corbin, Suhaila Elatar as Jenna, Victor Rivera as Eddie Bender, Robert Pralgo as Agent Beatty, Steve Coulter as Senator Berkeley, Rhoda Griffiths as Rainey Webb, with additional performances by Helen Abel, Jason Williams, Michael Anthony, Robin Bloodworth, and Teresa Davis. Our first assistant director is Michael Monti. Our second assistant director is Sarah Klein. Sound and music by Ben Lovett. Additional sound design and editing by Benjamin Balcom, Justin Raboski, and Mike Regan. Casting by Jessica Fox Thigpen. Our executive producers are Scott Shelton, Shelby Thomas, Alexander Williams, and Matthew Frederick. Written by Dan Bush and Nicholas Dukoski. Created by Dan Bush and Connell Byrne. Directed by Dan Bush. Produced by Beau Flynn, Dan Bush, and John Boyega. Tomorrow's Monsters is a production of iHeartRadio, Flynn Picture Company, Psychopia Pictures, and Upper Room Productions. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.